opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, if you consider schedule stuff sports, and hey, there's some UFC to talk about and a lot of other stuff. Let's do this. It's a Friday Friday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. You want to get in today? 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page today because Aaron's here. Send a message. If he likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Degenerates975, at Aaron is Blitz. You can also text the show. You know the number for that, 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday, freaking Friday. Let's have some fun here. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same. The same. Sports and beer, actually.
Oh, yes. Big beery day for you.
It was, and we bottled our first version of the cinnamon stout, which went and did that today. And there's only going to be about 300 bottles available. It's going to be in about 2 weeks. I'll let people know. It's going to be called the Falcon 9, and we're kind of hoping that they can release it the same day that they actually launch the rocket here in a couple weeks. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
And the barrel aged version is aging as we speak. So
all right.
Just want to shout out to Tom. This is a collaboration, but my whole part of it was, hey, man, I want to do a cinnamon stout. And he did all the work. So really appreciate him and Duck and all the guys at True Anomaly. Had fun today. I had a very important job today, AJ. My job was to, after the bottles were dipped in water, was to dry them off before they went in the box.
Oh, you did have a very difficult job. Look at you, Fred.
Yeah, so... but no, it was a lot of fun, man. It's so cool to see just a goofy idea we had several years ago come to fruition. And, we're hoping that they'll be able to have people back in the building once these are available, but it won't be too long now. Just got to get labels on them and then they'll be ready to go. And you'll only be able to get them at True Anomaly. And there's only going to be about 300 bottles available. So, you'll have to grab them while you can. And if I say so myself, I know you had the test batch.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out better than the test batch significantly.
Awesome.
So just a really good beer, and can't wait to see what happens with it. The barrel age version, we have there'll be a little more because they chose to age most of it, but those are being aged in those Whitmire's bourbon rye barrels, and I can't wait to see how that turns out. So just a fun project, and just something to do right now as we make our way through the Roniverse.
That's it.
What's happening on your end today?
Just another day in paradise. Another day in paradise. Kids arguing over school, who gets to use what computer, blah, blah, blah. But all that matters is, Fred, there's going to be fights tomorrow night.
Yeah, I know you got to be excited, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. I mean, the weigh-ins happened today. And in fact, next segment we'll have Ryan Spann on. He will be the leadoff batter for UFC 249. The first fight of the night on ESPN ESPN Plus. So we'll talk to him. He's fighting Sam Alvey, and I'm curious, like, what it's like out there right now. I mean, it's just a it's such a different setup than what you're used to, and it's so small, and like there's like a handful of reporters there, a handful of, there's just not very many people. And from what I understand, I talked to Bob Perez today, He's got a guy, Isaac Villanueva, we talked about him last week or earlier this week, who's fighting on Wednesday. And he said, you know, basically the hotel is just for the UFC guys. Like, if you're not with the UFC, you don't stay at that hotel. They are testing everybody every time they come into the building. So you're getting a test every day for the COVID, and you're getting for an antibodies test. So it's just a, I mean, there's a lot to it. There's a lot going into it. They're doing it safely. I wouldn't be comfortable if I were there, certainly, but they're doing it, so I'm going to watch. I can tell you that much.
Well, it's kind of like I've been talking about with horse racing over the last couple months. I don't know if they should be doing it, but I'm damn sure enjoying it.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I think if they're taking all the precautions they can, then it's also a good litmus test for other sports where there's physical contact, and that's where guys are going to be in close quarters. And, you know, if you can pull this off without any cases popping up or anything spreading, then I think that's a, you know, the way they're doing it, at least it gives you kind of a blueprint for, let's say the NBA wants to try something before the summer's out, or
yeah,
NHL, or any of those things where guys actually make contact with each other, and also to set up football. So I'll probably be buying it tomorrow night and watching it. You know, in the old days, I would have been looking for a bar to go to, but that's not happening.
No way.
but yeah, and so I'm looking forward to hearing. I'm kind of curious how his training has gone, how training has been different for something like this, because I don't know that you could. I mean, you've gone through this, right? I mean, I don't know that you could do your regular routine.
Oh, it's not. There's nothing regular about it, certainly. So I'm curious to talk to him about it, too, because I really don't know what it's like. I don't know exactly what's happening.
So just an odd personal question.
All right.
If you were still fighting and this was your chance to be on a UFC card in this situation, and maybe your only chance, would you be there?
No. Fred, what am I looking to do, get beat up and get coronavirus? I was always aware of what I was as a fighter.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you were at that level, though.
If I were serious about it, I mean,
if it were your life, if you didn't have a radio show to pay the bills.
I mean, then, yeah, I probably would have to, because those guys are contracted workers. So, if they don't work, they don't get paid.
Yeah, well, that's kind of and I know it's a different situation, because it was always more, you know, hobby for you than your job. But if it's your job and this is your chance to get there, you know, I think I'd feel fine about it. If I'm getting tested, if everybody else is getting tested and we're staying away from each other,
yeah,
then I'd probably be okay with it, especially, you know, if it might be my only chance at the UFC. But, you know.
Well, I think a guy like Ike Villanueva, I think he's getting a chance because he's willing to do it. You know, I think there's a lot of guys right now who aren't willing to do it. And they're saying, okay, well, this guy's been close for a while. Maybe we throw him a shot, see if he wants to take it. And they're fully aware that guys who are, you know, on the brink or have been on the brink for a while, that they're going to jump at that opportunity, sure.
Yeah, well, and again, I think somebody has to be the first one to do this. And, you know, hopefully it'll go off without a hitch. Hopefully without any illnesses, and, you know, and then maybe these other leagues can start looking at a model based on this. And
yeah,
and there's still going to be guys. I'll guarantee you right now, if the NBA were to come back and do something like this, there's going to be players who don't want to play.
Yeah,
and probably names, just like, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised, but I also think that, you know, you gotta kickstart things somewhere, and I think this is a good way to do it. Let's find out if it causes a bunch of fighters to get sick, then obviously you can't keep doing it. And, you know, but I think if they're doing all that, of course, I love how they can get tested every day and there's still the majority of the population can't get tested, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Dana's
boys with Donald. So they got the inside access.
Yeah, it's just like the NBA was, all those guys were getting tested before anybody else. So, you know, I mean, that's just life. The rich control the world. But If they're doing all that and they can do all that, then it should be pretty safe. And that being the case, and for all the, you know, all the horse racing talk, I think there's only been one person that actually got the Rona when, I mean, Sean Payton was at the races.
Right.
So I don't think he got it there, but there's been maybe one jockey that got it that I'm aware of. So, I mean, they have been practicing distancing and wearing masks and everything else, but you also don't have the intimate contact that you do in MMA. And
right.
I mean, you can't have a fight without guys
touching
each
other.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that simple. So, and I mean, basketball is the same way and hockey's the same way. You can't have those sports without contact. And this
whatever
is
Earl
ultimate.
Thomas does, same way.
Yeah, or his brother. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a team sport, Fred. Team sport.
I had just gotten that whole image out of my head.
You're welcome.
And now here I am looking at the number 11 again. Thank you. Thank you for that. Ugh, man. Jeez. How can you do this to me? It's the first segment on a Friday.
Sorry. I thought you would like it.
No.
I thought you'd be excited to hear about it. I don't know.
No. Brothers in the same room. That doesn't work for me. Even in Game of Thrones, that wouldn't fly.
Did you ask your kids if they've ever considered that in the same room?
I have not. I have not spoken to either of them about that. But,
I got to ask my sons. They're not quite of age, but as soon as they get of age, I'm just going to warn them of the dangers of that.
Yeah, well, you just hand them that story.
I'll be like, hey, this is a bad idea, guys. Look what's happened here.
Just draw the circle with the line through it and
yeah.
hand it to them.
Don't do this.
Hey, here's the message. Yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776. Well, I'll tell you one thing I noticed when I was walking down to the brewery today, there's a lot more cars out today than I've seen recently. And maybe it's just because I got out of the house and walked.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like, hey, man, where did all this traffic come from?
Things are opening back up, Freddie.
Is this barbershop day? Is that why?
I think it is barbershop day. Boy, my kid wanted to go to the barbershop bad. I cut his hair today, the little one. the older one I'd cut a long time ago, and it's fine, but the little one, he was just a mess, and I was like, dude, I'm cutting your hair. And he was like, no, please, let me just go to the barbershop. And now we're not going to the barbershop. You're getting it cut here. So I did it. It's fine. He doesn't look too crazy.
Yeah, well, he's a kid. What's he going to know?
Yeah, whatever. It'll grow back. All right, kid, you're good.
So I guess it's barbershop, nail salon, and tanning salon day.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to get to the tanning salon. I know you have.
Oh, God, yeah. Frankly, I think if people are going to start going out again, I want women to look good. I don't want them to not be tanned or not have their nails done. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll talk a little UFC next. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Guys, if you haven't figured out the benefits of CBD, you gotta look into it, man. I've been a proponent of CBD for a long time, and that was before I even knew about CBDMD.com. Thank goodness they came around, though, for many reasons. A, their stuff is high quality. It really is excellent stuff. It's independent, third-party tested. It's safe. It's pure. It's effective. It's the highest quality product you can get. Also, thank goodness, because, man, their price is way better than a lot of the other guys. And this is guaranteed THC, THC-free. They're backed by a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no risk. If you want to look into CBD, you want to see how it can help you, CBDMD is offering you a great opportunity here. 20% off when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 at checkout to save 20% on your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Time to talk a little UFC. Take it away, Mr. Hoffman.
Yeah, joining us now is a guy that I've known, I guess it's, I mean, it's going back a while now. It's probably 7-8 years. But a guy who is from Beaumont. I don't know if you're originally from Beaumont, Ryan, but when I met you, you were in Beaumont. You were training out of Beaumont. But Ryan Spann is on the program. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. You're involved in maybe the craziest fight card in the history of the UFC, at least like the most difficult one to throw together.
Insane, right?
I mean, did you have reservations about fighting on this card? Like, because I'm sure there was a lot of people who were just like, no, I'm not doing this right now. Like, did you have any doubts about whether or not you were going to fight? Never crossed your mind?
Never crossed my mind. They called me about, like, when it was going to go to, like, Brooklyn or wherever. No, they moved it. And they called me, like, a week or something before. And I'm like, sure, let's do it.
What was the training camp like for you? Because besides the sickness, I mean, which obviously they're testing for, I would think the most difficult thing to do would be adjust your training during this time, because it's not like you're able to go to the gym every day and work with your usual training partners every day and you know, eat the same way, train the same way. How different has it been for you?
It was a little different, and we had to make some adjustments, especially since it was like such last minute. And, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm not a little guy. So with the weight management and all that stuff, and we just basically started doing, you know, private things. And, you know, Mike Skatia, my strength and conditioning coach, and Safe Saud, my head coach, kind of got together, and we put together a plan and executed, you know, that how we were going to do things in these trying times. So, it's been different, but at the same time, we made it work, you know?
So do you feel like you got a legitimate, solid training camp?
I mean, this would be a bad day to say I didn't, right?
I mean, well, I get it. It'd be better to say it tomorrow, or if you have to. That's the best time to say it. But
no, we feel great. Like, we, Uriah and I, you know, both for fighting, and, like, we feel freaking amazing, man. Like, cutting weight yesterday, dancing, having fun, and I feel good.
You know, Alex Morano, who also trains out of Fortis, comes on our show. He's come on before every fight, I think. But he's obviously made a big jump since moving to Fortis. What's that gym done for you, for your career? How much of a difference has it made?
Well, I mean, look at the results, the consistency, and, you know, and what I've done since joining. I think we're 7-1 maybe together, 8-1 or 9-1, something like that. Since, you know, even getting with Coach Safe, and, you know, their one loss being on the contender. And I think it's either 8-1. I think it's 8-1 officially. And I think I've won 7 straight since. So, I mean, they're kind of, you know, numbers on a lie type of thing. You know, I don't know what's in the water, but like it helped with consistency, helped me get my mind right. You know, helped me actually to really train. Because before, like, you've seen me train, like, I wasn't really, like, just a super athlete that
you weren't serious about it.
Yeah. So we got our mind. It helped me get my mind right, especially after the first day there, getting jacked up so bad.
See, I want to talk. I want to talk to you about that Contender Series fight back in 2017. You got an opportunity to fight on Dana White's Contender Series. I'm guessing you were probably surprised to get the invite, because your career started out like wildfire. You go 8-1, something like that, and you would hit sort of a spell where you lost some fights. You lost a tough decision to Trevin Giles. You got choked out by Robert Drysdale, who's, I mean, steroid out of his head.
Time out. Wait a minute. I didn't get choked out.
Okay.
It was a submission, but I didn't get choked out.
Okay, fair enough. But the guy steroided out of his head. But
that part is neither here nor there. We don't focus on that. But That fight helped a lot. Like, Trevin, I legit got screwed in. But, like, those fights that I lost, man, they weren't because, you know, the guy was just better than me. It was a bunch of stuff going in that I needed to grow up and I needed basically to happen. You know, stuff outside affected inside type of thing, you know.
Well, did you feel like when you got that call to do Dana White's Contender Series and then you lose that fight very quickly, did you, like, was there a part of you that was like, that was my shot, I'm not going to make it to the UFC now?
Yeah, in a way. I know I touched on it before. I really don't want to get into it too much. But, yeah, to answer your question, basically, yeah, that was a moment that happened, and we weren't sure. You know, even when we got the call, it was, like, after I lost to Trevin, I got screwed in one of the worst decisions I think I've ever seen until I watched him fight again in Houston, and James Cross got screwed the same way, basically. And you know, we talked, and we actually, you remember I used to fight at like 85 and,
yep,
you know, those weird weights that I probably shouldn't have been at. And it's like, move up to 205 and we can make something happen. And then the contender just got dumped in our lap, you know, after a fight. And so when it happened, I was like, yep, there's my shot. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was actually talking to my son. And by the way, happy birthday to your son. I know it's like a few days late.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
We actually have a son, both, well, not together, but individually have a son born on the same day.
Awesome.
I think he'll be 8, right?
Yeah, mine's 8.
Yep. So they were literally born like hours apart, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to yours as well, man. So you get that second call to the Contender Series. What are the nerves like for you when you go up, you go out to Vegas again for another shot at the Contender Series?
No, dude, I was fine. I had no nerves. Like, we were on the strip the night before. Like, one of the best weight cuts I think I've had. And, like, I feel great, man. Like, it was super dialed in. You know, we did the work beforehand with the three fights and getting the LFA title and all that. It's just, like, I no nerves. That's probably, like, the least nervous, I think. And I rarely get nervous. I can't remember the last time I think I've gotten nervous.
Well, and now you were booked to fight Paul Craig in London. How long ago did they tell you that, and that event got canceled altogether because of the coronavirus? How long ago did they tell you that Sam Alvey was going to be your opponent?
So actually, I was booked to fight OSP in Houston first.
Right.
And then that was kind of taken, and then they pushed me back to London with Paul. And after that, I figured, I'm not fighting for a while, because they canceled that fight like the week of. I think I was supposed to leave for the airport in 2 hours and found out that I wasn't going to go. And then they called like a week and a half before the 18th, maybe, about Sam Alvey. And I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do that. Like, can you make weight? Yeah.
You always say yeah.
Fun.
Well, how was the weight cut this time?
Weight cut was good, man. I worked with the guys from Lockhart and Lace. And my strength conditioning coach, Mike Skacher, we made it. We made it. Like I said, I'm not small by any means. So it wasn't bad, but like I said, it wouldn't have been fun, because I think I found out about this 3 weeks ago or so. Then packed my bags, went to stay at Airbnb to strictly focus on getting the weight down and training the way we needed to train. My brother came and, like, we were working every day, so.
And I was talking to you today, and you said that you're not really into, you don't like to know much about your opponent. You're not a film study guy, huh?
Yeah, man, I've been like that since I was an amateur. I've never really cared about watching film. Don't really care. Don't really care to think about the fight, honestly, at all. Like, I don't even like doing interviews. I'm doing this for you, bro. But, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know why. I just adjust, man. Like, you can watch film and you be like, all right, well, he does this. And then you go out and fight a completely different guy and you train for something else. Yeah. You know?
So you just train to be the best version of you that you're going to be.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Exactly. The best me to beat the best of anybody. So I don't care what they're going to try to do. I'm not going to waste time looking at it.
That's Ryan Spann. I know the 409 is going to be cheering for you tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Houston will be as well. I got to tell a quick story about Ryan before we let you go. I ended up training with Ryan and a guy named Cody Williams out in Beaumont one time, and we were just doing some grappling. And I was at that point, I was a pretty solid grappler, and I was in shape. And these guys were fighters. I wasn't a fighter at this point. I was just a grappler, and I was able to catch Cody in a couple of subs, and we went a couple rounds. And I was bigger than you at the time. Not yep. now. You're a giant. you packed on some pounds since you were like 20 or 19, however old you were. But yeah. But I remember being so frustrated because we went like 5 or 10 minutes, and I could not submit you. And I remember being so angry that I couldn't catch you in something. And now here you are.
I think you're trying to guillotine me.
Yeah, I think so. And now here we are. You're 3-0 in the UFC, and now suddenly I don't feel that bad about it, not being able to catch you. I feel a lot better about it. So I'm glad that you made something of it, my man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I remember that. That was fun times.
All right, that's Ryan Spann. Catch him tomorrow. First fight out of the gate on ESPN Plus. Good luck to you, brother. And remember,
no, I think it's just ESPN.
Oh, it's just on ESPN? Okay,
I
cool.
Think so. Yeah.
Even better. And remember, always remember that it pays more if you finish inside the distance. Let's just remember that.
I mean, you know, I think 13 out of 15.
Something
I think I
like
got that point.
All right. Well, good luck, my man.
All right.
That's Ryan Spann. Good stuff.
That's good. That was good stuff, man. I enjoyed that. All right, let's take a really quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. My secret side, I keep
it under lock and key. I keep it caged. This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And if you missed that interview, go back and check it out on the podcast. That was good stuff. I mean, I remember you telling me that story, and I forgot that's who it was. But it doesn't sound like he does a hell of a lot of media, so good get there.
Yeah, man. He's a pretty private dude, but I figured, you know what? There's probably going to be more people watching him fight than ever have because,
yeah.
I mean, I think this is going to be a highly viewed card. And the fact that, you know, he's a Beaumont kid, I thought that it was fitting to have him on.
Well, it was interesting that when you asked him, did he have any reservations at all? He was like, nope, I'm all over it. So that, I guess that answers what we were talking about in the first segment.
Yep. But you also got to remember that guys like that make it to that level are just wired different. You know, they're not like, they're not normal dudes. They're not afraid of anything. They know fighting, and that's what they're going to do. So it is a different mindset.
Yeah, I mean, it was no hesitation in that answer, which is kind of what I expected. But that's the thing. That's how you get to be successful is, you know, you got to have a little fearlessness in you. So
or a little craziness.
All people who are great at anything have a little crazy in them. So, can I do a quick shout out? Got to see my man Lawyer Dave yesterday. Went over and picked up some takeout, and got to see him and his wife, and for the first time in a while.
Did you guys breathe on each other and hug and handshake?
No, we did not. We had masks. Everybody
Good
had masks.
Job.
We were responsible, but
Lawyer Dave Lawyer Dave ain't 20 anymore. Let's face it.
No.
We got to take care of that dude.
Yeah, we need him around. But the little bar has been doing food takeout and drink takeout. So we just went over and grabbed some stuff and, you know, and I just rode over with him and then you know, they dropped me off and it was all cool. So I got to see him. And also shout out to John Clay Wolf because I did they're picking up the Camaro on Monday, which is going to free my garage up, which I'm excited about.
There you
about.
Go.
So, and considering
you're going to be out joyriding this weekend?
No. That thing's been sitting in the garage for so long, it's just going to stay there until they come and get it. But considering the market, I got a nice price for it because I was expecting it to be considerably lower since nobody else is buying cars right now.
Right.
So, and I know it's not a great time to sell, but realistically, it's sitting there on my insurance. It's clogging up my garage. I'm not even driving it because we don't need two cars. So,
right.
But it was a really easy thing, and coming to get it Monday. So, shout out to John Clay Wolf, who
Very
will be
cool.
on our air tomorrow. Correct.
Give me the VIN.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything jump? We talked a little bit about the Texan schedule yesterday and my prediction that they could easily go 0-4 right out of the gate.
And it ain't really that easy, like, you know, right thereafter either. They've got some tough some tough matches.
They do, and they're not going to win all those because they never do. Remember the Panthers last year and Broncos, but those are teams that I think they can compete with. Frankly, I think they have zero chance against the Chiefs or Ravens. I mean, less than zero. It's like, don't even go on the field because you're just going to embarrass yourself in front of God and everybody.
I mean, those are the two best teams in the league. So I mean, there's minimal shame really, but there's a
yeah,
fact.
But yeah, it's going to suck starting off the season losing, you know, 51-10 and 48-7.
That's not fun. Hopefully they do better against the Ravens than was it Dolphins week one against the Ravens last year that just decimated.
That was just as ugly as you'll ever see. And it also kind of goes to show you not to put too much stock in those early games. Assuming they get played. I still don't think they're going to get played. But, you know, the Dolphins looked like a high school team early in the season last year.
Boy.
By the end of the year, they were a tough out every week.
And guess what? They still tanked for Tua.
Yeah, worked out for them, didn't it? So, I don't think they expected to get him at 5.
No, they didn't. I mean, would you have taken that bet that he'd be there at 5? No way.
No, I mean, I
going into last season, it seemed like a lock.
I have For the Win did the worst Thursday night football matchups. Would you like to hear these?
Let's hear them.
Week 2, Bengals at Browns.
That's pretty bad. I mean, I guess there's like the rivalry aspect of it, but yuck.
Yeah, I mean, anything that starts off with Bengals at anything is not going to be a good football game.
Yeah, no thank you.
And I still think the Browns are phony. So, Week 4, they have Broncos at Jets. Drew Lock versus Sam Darnold. Ooh.
Yeah, not
you ready
great.
For that one?
Not great.
The one they have Week 8, I think, might turn out to be better than people think. Falcons at Panthers. I think the Falcons are going to be better than they were last year, and I don't think the Panthers are going to be a disaster. I don't think they're going to be good.
I think they're going to be pretty bad. I mean, I think they'll be good eventually because I think they made a good coaching hire, but I think it's going to take them a minute.
By Week 8, though, again, I think they'll be a tougher out. As long as you keep giving Christian McCaffrey the ball 87 times a game, you're going to be competitive.
That's the move.
Week 10, Colts at Titans.
That's not a horrible game.
No, I disagree. Their point is the AFC South is rarely a fun division to watch.
Oh, that's true.
Even, even if the Titans beat the Patriots in the playoffs last year, before suffering a gigantic collapse against the Chiefs. That wasn't a gigantic collapse. I mean,
no, the Texans suffered a gigantic collapse against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Titans just had a regular size collapse.
They say, either way, this one screams bland city. Yeah, I think you're reaching, guys. And Week 15, Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. See, I don't think that one's that horrible either. I don't know. I don't know what the Chargers are going to be, and maybe I just have more faith in the Raiders than most people, but I don't think that deserves Bengals-Browns treatment.
No, I don't think so either.
So, yeah, anything else jump out at you from the other teams?
On the schedule or the other? I didn't look at the primetime schedule of everybody, but I did look. I was looking today at because you saw the Jags signed what's that dope's name? The big Mike Glennon, big goofy Mike Glennon, they signed him to push Gardner Minshew, which basically tells me they are 100% tanking. And
yeah,
you take a look at their schedule. There's two games they might be favored in. I think they'll be favored. They should be favored at home against the Bengals. I don't know if they will be because there's going to be the Joe Burrow effect, and you know people. You never know how the market will react to something like that. And then the other one is home to the Lions. Other than that, maybe it's the Dolphins and the Lions. I think the Bengals are on the road, so they're not going to be favored there. But, I mean, it does not look promising for for Jacksonville.
No, and Mike Glennon is not the answer to any question that starts off with, which player do we want to sign to push our quarterback?
No.
That's not the answer you're looking for.
He's the guy you want if your starter gets hurt and then the backup breaks his leg the first game that he starts, and then you've got to go out and find someone in a hurry to start a game for you next week while your starter recovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically they're saying they're when you do this, it's like, oh, Gardner Minshew's our guy. We believe in Gardner Minshew.
No,
which means yeah.
What it means to me is
trying to get the number one pick.
Trevor Lawrence is your guy, not Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, the thing is though, it's so hard to just go out there and tank. I mean, it really is because you know the Dolphins were supposed to be hot garbage last year.
I mean, if that team could
everybody,
if that team couldn't lose 15 games, I don't know. It's difficult.
Well, I think they may have actually got the one Patriots guy who can coach because
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, but when you look at what they did, it's very Dolphin like from last year in that they traded away all their best players except for the two they haven't gotten rid of yet, which I'm sure they'll wind up moving those. And you know, you're going with a quarterback that you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, "Oh, okay, good luck with that." All right, I do have the NFL Week 1 lines, which I'd like to do at 5 o'clock, if that's okay.
All right.
Because I already see about five of them that just jump off the page at me that I would be all over if we actually had a season.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard for me to even think like that right now with this all this stuff going on. I mean, I like to think that the games are going to start up and be normal, but, I mean, who really knows, you know?
Yeah, I'm skeptical.
I'm extremely skeptical, as you know. All right, I got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, guys. These guys, four generations, they've been family-owned and operated. It's the kind of company you want to do business with. And you might be thinking, it's not really a great time to be remodeling the house, is it? And to that, I'd say you're wrong, because with their spring special, there's no payments for 2 years. So you don't have to pay for 2 years. And there's 30% off all window packages, $2,500 off all siding packages. So you're getting all those benefits for 2 years without paying, all while you could easily be saving up to 30% you could be saving on your energy bills as we get into the summer here. I've had a couple listeners recently reach out to me, tell me, hey, I worked with Allstate. They were great. The experience was great. They're taking the extra precautions to make sure when they go into your home that everything's done safely and properly. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. For the best rate, call Allstate. With me say, didn't he lie? We got so many
fires stuffed in the car. We can flip them up things at a time. I made them up. You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And I have some more bad news. This won't affect you much, but this will hit my wallet a little bit. Canadian Football League Commissioner Randy Ambrosi said the 2020 season likely to be canceled. He also said the future of Canada's Football League is very much in jeopardy.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, well, that's...
How's your marriage doing?
Well, I don't think she's seen this story yet. She's been all day, so I haven't brought it to her yet. I think the, he went before their equivalent of Congress to try to get, $150 million in federal assistance to keep the league going. But the problem is, unlike most sports leagues, they don't get a ton of money from TV. I mean, they've got to deal with TSN in Canada and ESPN shows some games here, but it's not a big money thing. They make most of their revenue from fans attending games. And... while a lot of these leagues can go and play without fans, these guys, it's a big problem because, and in Canada, frankly, is a little farther ahead of us on, delaying mass gatherings and things like that. So I don't see them, it may be next year before they'll start letting fans back in stadiums that big. So yeah, if they lost the entire year, that could be a real problem. That would suck. Mainly because
that would suck. Their model is much like the XFL's. Like you've got to have butts in seats.
That's it. And the thing is, the XFL was doing a pretty good job of that, considering what it was.
But, they were.
Yeah. And the CFL has a couple of teams that struggle sometimes for attendance, but. Most of the ones, especially in Western Canada, they draw really well. And hell, it took us like 3 years of going up there before we were able to get riders tickets because they're sold out every game. And that's a concern. And I think you're going to see more of this. And I also think the backside of this is the TV dollars are going to start to dry up too, because guess what? TV needs advertisers, and that's something that, boy, once some of these leagues that are like the MLS, for instance, I think that's a league that could find itself in serious trouble. I mean, I've talked about contraction in some sports, which I think could happen, but I don't think it would be a shock if we lost entire leagues here.
Think about MLS. Didn't they just add a team in Austin? Am I wrong?
Oh, they've been adding teams every year. They got the David Beckham's got one now, and there's the Atlanta came in a couple of years ago, so they've been expanding like crazy.
Yeah, I think they're going to have regret.
254 says Bengals go 10-6 this year, but haters going to hate. Okay.
Okay.
Tell you what, you can do.
you can go light your money on fire in a field, or you can wager it on the Bengals.
No, go bet the over on them if you believe that.
Yeah. Oh boy!
So, oh dear, ticker bounced me again.
Yep.
Yeah. Good luck, Bengal fan. I'd feel sorry for you, but you guys don't go to the games. You're not like Browns fans. I mean, Browns fans stick it out through thick and thin, and I at least respect that. But,
that's true.
Either that or you're just a Jose Burrow fan from LSU and you think he's going to go in there and make a huge
Which is
difference.
Fine. I mean, and be that, please. But let's be serious, though.
10-6. Oh, you could. If that happens, you can text back in and I will formally apologize on air and acknowledge your brilliance. Or not. But either way, just you can keep that in mind.
I mean, whatever happens, and I know last year was an amazing season, and I give Joe Burrow full credit, had a season that was literally unprecedented. But remember, that's the same dude that looked like a trash can against Florida the year before and lost to Aggie. God, go look at his game against Alabama the year before. I mean, he had some... stinker games. And it's the magic of 2019 LSU, as great as the stats were for Joe Burrow, wasn't all Joe Burrow. There's a lot went into it. Joe Burrow is not a magic potion. He's a good piece. I believe that, and I think he's a good piece for the Bengals. I think he's got a chance to be a solid quarterback. I think he's also got a chance to be very average. It depends on what they put around him. The Bengals are not that's not a team that's going to be fixed overnight. I don't see it.
No, and the other thing I want to point out about that LSU team is I think we were looking at one of the all-time great college football teams, especially when you look at how many of these guys got drafted, where they were drafted. The guys that are still left are going to get drafted extremely high next year. I mean, yeah. they had elite talent at every skill position. They had an offensive line that was way above average. In fact, I think all of those guys got drafted. And even on defense, they had difference makers. I mean, that team, I think we'll look back on it when we have conversations about the best single season for a college football team. They're going to be in that conversation.
They will be with
that Miami team and everybody else. I mean, I think it's going to take a couple years to see how many more of those guys get drafted.
Yep.
But just from a pure talent standpoint, well, he was really.
We talked. I mean, I remember mentioning this when LSU was about to play Clemson. That game. We could look back in several years and look at that like we look, and obviously it wasn't as iconically great of a game, but the same way we look at that Texas versus USC game, because there was so much NFL talent on the field that it's amazing that they were all in the same spot at the same day.
Yeah, and the game didn't turn out to be as good because that LSU team turned out to be way better.
Yep.
And that's something I think we'll be talking about for a few years. And it was great that the season he had was fantastic, but just on scale, the quality of receivers he was throwing to at LSU, the quality of running back he had at LSU, versus the other talent,
yeah,
is not going to be as good with the Bengals. So, 409 asking, will you eat crow? Never ask me that again. I did it once. It will never happen again over anything.
Not literally, anyway.
No. I will apologize, but that's it. Or I'll call you a genius about that. So, anyway. And, I mean, I love that LSU team. It was so much fun, but I also think it's easy to just sort of default to, wow, look at the numbers that Joe Burrow put up. It's like, yeah, look what he was throwing to. And look at the offensive line in front of him. That doesn't
look
take
at the
away
look at the coaching he had. Nobody knows if the Bengals have the right coaching in place.
Well,
you can't look me in the eye and say, they've got the right guy for sure.
The default is, no, of course they don't.
Because when do they?
Yeah.
When did the Bengals do things right? And honestly, if you're a Joe Burrow fan, it should worry you that the Bengals drafted him. Because when do they get it right? I mean, they're not Browns level, missed that often, but they're pretty close. They're pretty close.
Yeah, and when your glory days were Marvin Lewis, I mean, that ought to tell
you
something.
How dare you, Fred? Their glory days were Boomer Esiason days. They made a couple AFC championship games.
They actually made it to a Super Bowl one year.
That's true.
They lost to the 49ers.
Almost had it. Nope.
But, no, recent history Bengals, it's, you won some division titles under, and then you lost every single playoff game. So, I think they've gone downhill. They've had some bad drafts here over the last few years. I think that's part of it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. So, I teased it. So, at 5 o'clock, we will go through the Week 1 NFL lines.
Bum ba da dum ba da dum bum bum. Cannot wait.
I want to be excited about this. But
oh my.
Good job. That was a classic.
Thank you.
That one even came through the headphones, I think.
Ooh.
So at 4:56 PM. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Where I go, bring me home, but I got no place to go. 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.